Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right, y'all. So those that have been following my journey, it's important to let y'all know I got out of jury duty. Oh, that's right. I'm not allowed to talk about it, though. I already said too much, nor was I allowed to take any pictures or videos, although I did and posted them, but that's what I do at Break Rules. Question of the night is up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, what is the worst way that a stranger has approached you? We shouldn't say worst. It's going to wind up being like creepy. And I was sitting here thinking, what is the creepiest way I've been approached or have approached someone? I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll break that on down later in the show. And of course, we've got Rude Jude from the All Out Show. Oh, it's going to be good. Get the phone lines ready. 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. But right now, let's drop into some news. Scarlett Johansson, God bless you. So she's in the news because she's upset that she was called out for taking roles that are centered around characters of color. So Scarlett groans, saying she should be allowed to play any person, tree or animal. Now, the whole reason why this is an issue is because people of different minority status don't have the same opportunities or roles available to them. And they want to have the few that actually match who they are in the world as an opportunity for them to get some gigs. Now, the funny thing is, she says she wants to be able to play any role. Well, then that should kind of be more of a global standard, because as we were talking about last night, there's a lot of controversy around Halle Bailey, who's a woman of color, playing Ariel in the new live Little Mermaid, which I think is phenomenal. Why not diversify things like that, you know? In my mind, I'm all about that. And then we have Lashana Lynch, who's making massive history because she's going to be the first female to play 007. She's going to come as a new secret agent and take over the famous codename from Daniel Craig. Look, I'm here for this kind of stuff. I'm not worried about the loss of roles to, you know, the white cis hetero majority. I love the idea that people of minority identity are getting all these roles and gigs. I think it's phenomenal. And also, representation is important. Look, talking about on a mental health level, it's really important for our own self-worth and self-esteem to see ourselves reflected back. And I know when I was a kid looking at television, I mean, there's no diversification. And now I'm thankful that the younger generations are seeing a wealth of identities explored in television, in terms of everything, what gender, relational configuration, sexual orientation, all sorts of stuff. So that's phenomenal. Pushing forward though, this is amazing. I love this. So still in the 21st century, we have this idea that men are the ones that are hypersexual and the ones that are their sexual asserters. And this other, you know, controversial myth that's been debunked clinically in my own practice for decades. But this whole idea that only men are turned on by sexual imagery. There's a couple books that have been coming out recently talking about the rise in cheating by females. And that's part of, you know, female sexual empowerment, women being more sexually assertive. So although cheating is a really horrible solution to whatever the problem is you're trying to solve, the fact that there's an increase in it with females is a sign of female sexual empowerment. But study coming out saying that, it's amazing that we need a study to even point this out, but that women are as likely as men to get turned on by sexual imagery. I mean, we needed studies to kind of support that. But yeah, there it is. Women are visual creatures as well. And the same neural activity happens in the brains of both, when they're looking at porn. I'm constantly, to this day, when I'm traveling the country, doing my book lecture and book tour, or even here on the radio show, trying to support the idea that women are hypersexual, that women do want and like sex, that women can be sexually assertive. Also the reverse, that there's a lot of men that are of low sexual desire. There's a lot of men that are passive and more bottomy, and they're not assertive or dominant. And we have to kind of remove these gendered expectations upon sexual roles, can't tell you how many people I work with that are struggling in my clinical practice because they're thinking there's something wrong with them because they're not fulfilling these gendered expectations in the bedroom. Women feeling, you know, really slut-shamed and afraid to really assert and ask for what they want sexually. Women that have been in relationships for decades and they're still not having orgasms because they're not comfortable telling their partner that they need something different sexually or even asking for the kinds of things that really are arousing to them. That is heartbreaking to me. I've worked with some couples where, you know, the expectation is, you know, in a hetero relationship where the female's sitting there thinking, well, my male partner should be the assertive hypersexual one. And we're looking over at him and lovingly said, he is a very quiet, relaxed, passive person. And I'm sitting there having to let them know, like, you're never going to have the sex life you thought you were going to have because gender roles don't always apply. Wait, Samantha, why are you smirking?
I don't know.
Are you uncomfortable with our topic?
You're visualizing.
I mean, that's one of the more interesting things these days is the way that gender roles really get in the way of people's sexual authenticity, right? So live in a culture where we're very body shaming. We have problematic expectations on people's bodies, which don't allow people to really fully let go with sex because they're afraid of how my body looks, what my body, you know, the sounds it might be making. Sex, you know, good sex, healthy sex is messy. Sounds, smells, sights, right? Okay. People are afraid of being called a sex addict, so they're not asserting the sexuality they want. As I was saying earlier, slut shaming. You know, we still live in a time of respectability politics where we have this idea for you to be taken seriously as a woman, as a wife, as even a doctor, that you have to live a certain way in the world, which is why I am always trying to talk about my own personal life as a way to kind of demystify such creativity and diversity. You're nodding along now. You're into it. okay, pushing forward, though. Target, you know, it's interesting to see what goes on in these stores for kids, but Target's releasing in time for Halloween costumes for kids in wheelchairs. Interesting, right? So they're interesting to look at the complete construction. So for girls, of course, it's a princess in a carriage, and for guys, it's a pirate in a pirate ship. So, you know, still hypergendered, but adorable nonetheless. Anyway, coming up next, we got Rude Jude. He's going to be with us in the studio. Phone lines are open, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and on radio.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right, we got a question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, what is the worst way that a stranger has ever approached you? Worst, creepiest, kind of all those things. We bring that on down later in the show, and of course, doing our Freak on the Streets. But right now, we got Rude Jude from the All Out Show.
Yo, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, y'all don't know this because you probably don't listen to my show, but Dr. Chris was on my show and crushed it. So it's cool to be able to just chill with you.
Oh, man, thanks. I had a good time. You blew me away.
Really?
For a couple of reasons. So one of the things that I don't always expect from people that you brought in was you were really honest about yourself.
Yes.
Are you aware of that?
I learned that being vulnerable, there's strength in vulnerability. So you have to be honest.
Yeah, you were saying some things that you were talking very clearly about yourself and your sexual life that a lot of people wouldn't be comfortable bringing forward, especially guys in our culture. And so I was sitting there and I was like, wow, that's real.
And it's also under promise, over deliver. They're like, here's a guy that pooped his pants. It's like, we won't expect much from him. And then it's like, you go halfway good. They're like, hey, not bad.
So that's the theory. Keep the bar real low. Yeah. You're always going to be doing good.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's like you tell someone, hey, you want some bomb Italian food? I'm going to take you to Olive Garden. And they're all like, well, what is this?
But I can't pull that off because they hear the doctor part and I'm already, the bar's high with me.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when they hear what kind of work I do.
Oh, dude. Yeah, they're like, yeah, they probably want special types of orgasms.
I can't roll in Olive Garden style on them. That would be like, wah, wah, wah. You know what I mean? They're like, we thought we got the top of the top. Like, sorry about it.
Just be like, I went to the University of Phoenix.
I got my degree to pack of smokes at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, that's the kind of doctor I am. It's cool. And then you can just blow their mind.
Oh, well done. Well done. So You know, I was looking through some of the interviews that you've done, and that was the other thing that kept coming through was, you know, your honesty about yourself. But I wanted to bring up something you said that I thought was really powerful. I never fit in anywhere, but I earned who I am every day of my life. And looking at your story and how you got to where you are, like, you definitely did.
It was really, the thing is, as a teenager, as a 10-year-old, you want to fit in. I tell people to boss up and be tough, and it's not the star of the basketball team telling you that. It was somebody that was very insecure, didn't like themselves, didn't feel good, was ashamed. My family is like poor. We were poor, and we were hippies, and we would like, and I just like want to fit in, and we'd go to the mall, and people would laugh at us, like straight up point and laugh at us, and that really hurt, you know. And as I got older, and kind of started growing. Actually, once I started puberty, like your balls drop, you get a job, you start making your own money, you don't gotta worry. I had two shirts, you know, I'd wear them every other day. Like you start getting your own thing, and I started feeling better about myself. And you know what the crazy thing was? I was really afraid of girls, and this isn't a good way to do it, but this is how I did it. I devalued them so that if they rejected me, I wouldn't feel bad.
Yeah.
And so I was also a fat kid I was 240, like I had titties, you know, I had the whole nine. So I also had an anger towards women because they'd friend zone me a lot of times. And so that the first year that I was dating, I was very promiscuous. I learned how to talk to girls from my friends who were basically gigolos.
Like, so a very healthy, sustainable way to talk to them, or no, still problematic and not very.
Oh, dude. No, it's like. Remember, I'm gonna take you guys back to the 90s when you had call waiting. He was
corded phones.
Yeah, my friends are jumping on. Had two girls on the line at the same time. Yeah, girl, I love you. Hold tight. Yeah, what's up? When you gonna do this? And we'd always try to like sleep with women and get things from them, and then it was a contest. Oh, you got some Jordans? Oh, I got a Nautica shirt.
That's what bums me out, though, because it's like what you struggled with was classism and body shaming.
Yes.
And those are two things that I feel like we haven't culturally dismantled yet.
No. And the thing, and look, and here's the deal, like the way I looked was a reflection of the way I felt. Like, I was eating my feelings, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, oh, I got a slow metabolism. No, I was a fat kid. I was eating my feelings, and
the feelings, though, that culturally were forced upon you. You weren't allowed to feel okay about yourself.
I was, and I came from, my dad was crazy. I came from an abusive household, and also I did. You go out, and you feel bad. And here is the worst part. I grew up in government housing. My mom and dad were divorced, and my mom was living in government housing, and my dad lived in the poor part of a good town. And my sister, he wanted, because it was important for us to have a good education.
Yeah.
He really valued that. And as crazy as he is, there's good things about him, and that was one of them. But my sister and I each had we had a food, you know, them little fake ass futon chair mattresses, like,
yeah,
a food,
yeah. Yeah,
that we had that. We lived in a one bedroom, and my sister and I each our bedrooms were closets, were these unfinished closets, and we had our little, would fold that out, and sleep in there and go to school and be treated. We were treated like white trash there, and we were like the hippie kids in a rougher area, and kids would make fun of me, and I would try. My mom gave me this book called Free to Be You and Me. Like, that was the worst book.
Oh, wait, I know that.
Do you remember that? Yeah, like,
that was a TV show too.
It was some hippie. Okay. They're hippies. Yeah, so yeah, like, yeah.
Beautiful message on the surface.
Yeah, it's great, but like when you got to deal with like kids don't understand. Like,
no, it's the opposite. When you're a kid, it's like you just said. All you want to do is fit in and look like everybody else.
Yeah,
wear what they're wearing, look like totally. Them, talk like them. That's all you want.
Yeah, and like when they're making fun of you, reasoning doesn't really work. Nah. You know what I mean? Like, you have to respond with power. Response. You have to respond with like.
So what did this book? So your mom's like, read this book and you'll feel better about who you are.
And I'm the youngest kid. Youngest kid, never went through fucking puberty. I'm like fucking 13 with a toddler's penis. Like, it was the worst.
Wait, we're gonna take a break.
I'm sorry.
When we come back, we'll talk more about your baby parts and also some of the career choices you've made prior to getting on radio that blow my mind.
My bad.
All right, we'll sit down through Drew Nielsen and Love Live Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and tonight we're with Rude Jude from the All Out Show. Before we slide into DMs, I just want to comment your book, Hummingbird.
Thank you. Yeah,
man, again, so honest and real. You hit everything.
That book was about depression, family, about my family, and
did
about
you panic at all
about
after
addiction.
It out?
It's funny. I wrote two books. The first book was Hyena. And it was like more. It was a bit more bawdy, and like it was about a breakup and kind of how to make a monster is the best way to put it. How I learned it, how to deal with women, and that was like And then Hummingbird was like this kind of a bit more introspective. And I work on a rap show, you know what I mean? And people want to laugh, and I wrote this book, and I was petrified. I had to go to the mountains and do mushrooms and like think on it before it dropped, and I didn't know how it was going to be taken. And the great thing about it was like people were coming up to me, and they were like, man, I thought I was messed up, and I didn't feel alone anymore. Cause I just wanted to show it wasn't shock value. I just wanted to show people like this crazy stuff was my normal. Like what you think is crazy that's my normal. And I'm not trying to shock you. I'm just trying to show you about me, and maybe like you see me doing all this wild stuff over here and you're like, well, how could he do that? Well, my mom would take me around with her to go cheat on my father, and I was over sexualized as a child, and my dad was a maniac, so and was didn't understand boundaries, so yeah, of course I'm gonna let someone pee on me. You know what I mean? Like, that's not that big of, yeah, I'm going to be into that weird stuff.
But that's why, again, I'm so impressed with your honesty, because what's helpful for the people I work with to be aware of people like you and to read the work that you write is to be reminded that one can have a life like that, that they are born into and brought into, and still find their way out of it.
Yeah. And you know what? It's, I really still struggled with it, and I just started seeing a woman, and the crazy thing was like, we both have a bit of darkness in us, and some of my exes would judge that, and we kind of understand each other, and we don't judge each other's darkness, and we just accept one another.
That's a good partner.
Yeah. She was... Yes. And yeah,
because you're a handful. I'm a handful.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
right.
You don't know my backstory. I put out there. not as dark as yours, but like yeah. there's actually a lot of similarities.
You know what? It's human. That's like right. so many people have like these really, like, you look at somebody and you're like, oh, he's got it. So this, and you don't know what people have been through.
No, that's what's interesting. Well, that always comes up for me. I'll get asked a lot. People that are in my field will say, you know, hey, Dr. Donahue, I'm in school and I want to do what you do. Where do I go to school? And I'm like, oh my God, you think the way I live in the world is based on a university I went to? Please right. let me walk you through
yeah.
all that I did and went through
yes.
to build up the kind of personality I have, to be able to push on the rules, to have something to say,
right.
wounded healer, like go through that. That is what educated me.
I agree with you. And it's like people need to really be empathetic to one another and don't judge. Like, you might see some rich chick and you're like, oh, she's got it easy. But like she might have got molested a bunch as a child and had a mother that was negative to her and made her feel inferior. And
but
and
even what you were saying, where
that.
You said, and this is, I think, a quote of yours, people always thought I was going to be a loser. I went to a good high school, was able to get a good education, blah, 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 blah. But so people always thought I was going to be a loser. I wanted to succeed. And I think that's important for people to know, in the reverse of what you just said. Just because someone looks like they have an awesome life, don't assume they do. And also the reverse.
Yeah.
People might see me walking around tatted out and be like, oh my God,
oh, yeah,
what's he do?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I did two doctoral programs and I'm published.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I did.
Yeah. Isn't it
like,
funny?
Don't judge that either.
Don't judge a book. Talk to somebody.
That's right.
See about
that's
them.
That's right.
Watch them.
That's why I love your journey, though, because you're killing
thanks.
It in radio. I mean, you're killing it. Well, do you stop and lean out and go, look at what I'm doing? Do you give yourself that?
Sometimes it's really weird. I think a lot of people that really try really hard are also very hard on themselves. So you don't really get to sometimes I think about where I remember showing my ex the one bedroom that I came from, and I hadn't seen it since I left, and it was even worse than I had remembered. Oh, and I started crying, and I was just I'm tearing up thinking about it right now. I'm so grateful that I'm able to have this job where I get to talk to people and get to hear from them, and maybe I get to say something that's gonna cheer them up or get them thinking a different way. And so, yeah, every now and again, I think it's important for everybody, all of y'all, like just to look at how far you've gone and give yourself a pat on the back. But don't be lazy either, because keep on pushing. You don't want to be 70 and dumb. You want to be 70 and wise. Keep looking at yourself. Keep going.
All right. Well, there it is. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We don't got time for the DMs. That's all right.
Oh,
that
oh,
was
man,
more powerful.
All right, then
stay with us. Stay with us for next segment.
Oh, I'd love to answer.
All right, we'll do those DMs.
Yeah.
But I had to ask you about the book because, you know, I it was so honest. I had to ask you about the moment of like putting out there and releasing it to the world, and then
oh
it is
God,
what it
I'm
is,
scared.
And it does what it does now. You're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and now it's time to slide into those DMs. Sliding into DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. So we got Rude Jew with us. He's taking a little hydration.
You almost had me do a spit take with that big old sexy world. I'm like, ooh.
I don't write the copy. I just read it.
I was like, wasn't ready for that.
All right. So me and Dr. Jude here are going to answer your DMs. Let's see what he's got for us. All right, here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. So the 4th of July, my boyfriend got a bottle. My boyfriend, my sister, and I drank it. It took a couple shots. They chugged it. They were dancing and being annoying, and I was angry at how drunk my underage sister, 19, is, and my boyfriend. My sister's knocking everything over over, and me and my boyfriend try to make her lay down and chill out. I go get a drink of water. I come back. My boyfriend's laying next to my sister on the bed, and his hand is grabbed on her shirt, and it looks like he was about to kiss the top of her cleavage. I don't know what he's about to do, but it looked like that's what it was. Everyone swears he wouldn't do that. What do you think I should do? Dr. Jude.
Oh, he's going to do that. Look, man, do you want to be with someone that's going to bang your sister when she's drunk?
That's real.
Like, that's, he was fun to do that. Like, that's, yeah.
There it is.
So that's what you, and that's, look yourself in the mirror. It's like, do I want to be with someone that's going to sleep with my sister?
I like your answer because, if you're, I this is what I say to people all the time, and this is something that's really hard for some people to hear, but some people, when they drink, they do really problematic things. If that's you, stop drinking.
Yep.
And if you're in a relationship with someone who does that, that's the question I got asked. Do I want to be with someone where when they're drinking, I have to worry about them doing things like this?
I find that money and alcohol brings out what you are. You know what I mean? Brings out things in you. Like, that wasn't like, I didn't mean to get drunk and fillet the whole fraternity to Dave Matthews. It was the alcohol.
Well, I got like, Dave Matthews.
I was there in the fraternity. I was like, no, like that's it. Like that doesn't just come out of nowhere, dude. That was in you. Don't blame it on the Zima.
So basically, you're saying you got to sit your boyfriend down and have a big old talk.
Yeah, you really do. Yeah, and the other thing too to look at is like, this is the little sister, and that implies that he's older. And he's taking advantage of a laid out drunk girl, which is kind of grimy, dude. Yeah. Like, which I'm a piece of crap, and I wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, no way. Like, that's not right.
That's a big issue. So yeah, you got a lot to look at there. But I agree with you. Double red flags. All right.
He sure ain't got no kids with him. You know what I'm saying?
Look at that one. All right, here we go. Got another one. Hey, Dr. Chris, I'm sorry for the long message, but I have a situation at work and need some advice. There is a newer employee who has taken over my old position, and I'm required to train him. However, he tends to make very suggestive remarks. Tonight's questions are about boundaries. He finds ways to touch me and says things like, "Damn girl, you look good today," or says that I need a good man. Spoken several times to my manager, and she dismisses it as harmless. God, love that one. Yikes. And he's a happily married man who's been married for 25 years. I'm afraid that if I escalate or make a bigger deal, they'll see it as retaliation. I might get transferred. Should I just look for a new job? Oh, man.
Can I be blunt?
Yeah.
It's your job to set your boundaries. And the moment that he stepped over, you need to check him. You need to check him. I think about my grandma. You know what I mean? This was like pre all of that. Like, she was a strong woman, and she demanded, you demand respect. You do not, you hit him in the nose, like with a newspaper, like a bad dog. Like, no, don't talk to me like that. Keep your hands off me. I'm here to train you.
You're my subordinate. I'm training you.
I'm training you. You're taking this over. And it's like, it'd be nice if HR helped.
Yeah, but don't you love that she goes to her superior and they dismiss it?
But you know what? You want to live in this world where you're able to take care of these problems, because you're not always, someone's not always going to be there to save you. So like, and here's the thing: a lot of times, you're taught to be agreeable, and you don't have to be agreeable. You have the right to your own boundaries. And if someone crosses those boundaries, it's your obligation to tell them to get the heck away from you.
Yeah, also because I don't want someone like that working with anyone, right? If you just transfer, that problem exists. He's a mess.
Yeah, that guy.
He's have some.
And he's about to be a boss. Like, yeah. She's training him up. He was a subordinate and she's training him up.
Something like that. Yeah. That's not good.
That guy, and like, look, man, you're not going to train him, but this is an opportunity for you to not take crap.
I love it. Empowerment. Man, well done. Well done, Dr. Jude. All right, man, so where can people find you if they're not already following you?
You know what? here, I would really love for you guys to check out a little cartoon that from Hummingbird, and if you like it, maybe you'll grab the book, go to YouTube, type in Brain Games Jude, you'll find it. And yo, I got screwed on my Audible deal for Hyena, so just go listen to the book for free on YouTube.
Love it. All right, Rude Jude, thanks for coming by this night. When we come back next, we're going to be doing a little Freak on the Streets, and then we'll be hitting up the question of the night. So still got more time to weigh in on that on our Loveline IG page. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris.
I'm going to see you on my show soon.
I'm back. All right. New Channel Q, Radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, question night is up on our Loveline IG page, so there's still some time to weigh in on that. It's the worst way that a stranger's ever approached you to ask you out. Yeah, it's going to get good. It's going to get creepy. We'll break that down later in the show, but right now, it's time for some Freak on the Streets.
What are your thoughts on asking or telling a partner your number of sexual partners?
So, for those that couldn't understand what just happened, the question was, what are my thoughts on talking to other people about your sex number? As in that question, you know, how many people have you had sex with? It's so fascinating. This question comes up often. My thoughts are this. It's a very loaded question. I often don't trust the person asking, because the only people that really ask that are people around which they're going to make a problem out of it. People that are very comfortable with the idea that we've all had sexual partners before our current relationship, they don't think in terms of how many people they've had sex with. They're not trying to make meaning out of it. So the fact that someone's asking it is they're trying to probably most likely slut shame you. And I tell people, never answer questions like that. The better question, which is going to frustrate them, but the better question is, I'm curious what it is you're looking to find out. And they'll usually say, I just want to know how many. And says, I understand that, but I'm curious what you're trying to find out by asking me that question. Because the only thing you can find out is you're going to make an assessment about me. And the number of people you've had sex with does not speak to who you are as a person, right? We're supposed to be judging people based on their character and integrity. And sex partner choice isn't tied to that. In fact, a high sex number of sex partners might actually be an act of true health. Or they're like, look, sex positive, body positive. I have the sex that makes sense to me. I'm not going to tie myself to a number. Yeah? All right.
How soon is too soon to sleep with someone?
Ah, there's the other good question. Those are like the top five. How soon is too soon? Have sex with someone as soon as you're interested in having sex with them.
Really?
As long as it's... Samantha says, really? I'll say this. Here's my true answer. As soon as you're really interested in getting to know someone and getting to know yourself. A few things. Sexual compatibility and chemistry is important. It is not something that just falls into place because you enjoy someone or think they're really hot or interesting. It's its own level of chemistry and compatibility that has to be assessed. So make sure you take that seriously. People that are interested in having sex, if they're healthy, are interested in truly getting to know you. But bigger than that, I remind people, you can figure out psychological and emotional chemistry and compatibility, and then later sexual, physical chemistry and compatibility, or reverse the order, but at some point you have to do both and you can choose which one you start with. And you learn a lot more about someone via sex than you do via coffee. At coffee, all you can learn is, did you like Game of Thrones? Where do you like to vacation? But through sex, we learn about how much intimacy they want and can tolerate, body esteem, sexual chemistry and compatibility, how much closeness, all these other factors. So there can be a lot of depth in it. So don't rule that out as necessarily a bad thing. And if you have sex with someone, you don't hear from them again, it's because that was the only level of chemistry and compatibility that was there for them. And after that was assessed, either it turned out that that wasn't true or there wasn't anything else there holding it together. Because I'll tell you, if someone's interested in you and more than sex, they'll circle back after sex. And delaying sex doesn't promise that. It just delays finding that out. Yeah, that's real. It's like silence in the studio. But that's the truth. You know, at some point you have to cross the sexual threshold to explore it and also to find out if there's more beyond and after that. And you can delay it as long as you want and wait 5 months for that to happen, 1 month for it to happen, or a week for it to happen. But the sustainability of a relationship isn't determined on based on how long you wait to have sex. If compatibility is there, it's there. It'll bring them back. Yes.
So what about when people talk about like the 3 month rule?
I mean, it's an arbitrary number, whether it's 3 dates or 3 months, no matter, you know, delaying sex for a certain length of time doesn't promise anything. All it promises is delaying checking in on compatibility and chemistry around that. And if it's not there and you waited 3 months, wow, that's a lot of time and investment to find out this is not someone I'm meant to be monogamous with or to have a sexual relationship with because it just wasn't there. Oof, that's a long time to put in.
3 months?
Yeah, 3 months. You kidding me?
Well, I feel like a lot of women, I guess, not a lot of women, I feel like people in general want to look for someone that is going to be more long term.
So you should assess like, all levels of compatibility.
Culture,
that's right.
It's hard.
Yeah.
So it's like
I mean,
you don't want to have sex on the first date because I've been having sex on the first date with so many people and it's just gone wrong.
Right. But it doesn't go wrong because you had sex too soon. It went wrong because either the sex wasn't compatible enough or after you got sex out of the way, there wasn't anything else left to bring them back.
Mm.
Because people that stick around after sex are ones where there's so many other levels of things that are meaningful and compatible between the two of you. They want to engage more of that. You know,
yeah.
But I agree with what you're saying. But I'll tell you what's really heartbreaking is couples that come into my office and they put a lot of time, energy and investment into the relationship, a lot of love, and the sexual chemistry was never there, or they found out too late after making other investments, or they assumed it would just fall into place. And now they're maybe married, own a home, have kids. And they're like, what do we do? And I say to them, I can't create chemistry and compatibility that was never there. The best I can do is try to improve upon what's going on. But if you're starting from scratch, like you're going to have to actually mourn the loss of having the sex life you wanted to have. And so I tell people, don't wait wild lengths of time, assuming that it'll just work itself out. But I appreciate what you're saying. We're in a time of hookup culture where I wish people would be a little more forthcoming and say, hey, I'm in a place where I'm looking to just be hookup-y, just looking for sex, can't promise anything after that, so people can make informed decisions. I personally am open to everything. Mm-hmm. And so I say to people, I promise nothing. I don't know where it'll go. I'm open to all. All right.
Call him.
And there it is. Hit me up, y'all. Hit me up. All right, we come back. Question of the night. Hit us up on our IG with your answers. Listening to Loveline, Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
Question of the night time. Oh, we don't have the sounds for that yet.
No.
We don't, but they'll be back. They'll be back. Oh, there it is. La, 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 la. Question of the night. Tonight's question was, what's the worst way a stranger who is interested in you has approached you? Here we go. I was at a bar once with my boyfriend and friends, was just walking towards the dance floor, and this dude in a sweater vest steps in front of me, looks me dead in the eye, and straight up extends his arm, wow, grabs my crotch, and says nothing, just keeps staring. Whoa.
Ooh, that's so crazy.
Yeah, there's so much wrong with that. That's called sexual assault. Sorry that happened to you. That's horrible. Okay. Thought we were going to get some funny ones. Sorry to hear that, though. Worst way a stranger who's interested in you approached you. Had a guy try to follow me home because he saw me walk down the street and wanted my number, but I wouldn't give it to him. Oh, my gosh. All right. Let me take a moment here for a second. All right. Listen, guys, those that are male-identified penis owners. sexual assault's not cool. It's not hot. Being creepy isn't either. Don't be so assertive. If someone seems uncomfortable, stop. If someone says no, stop. Don't chase after. Don't go after. Don't follow people down alleys. Don't follow people home. You know what I mean? All right. Let's keep going. What's the worst way a stranger who's interested in you has approached you? This is a long one, so I'm hoping it's good. My faith is in you, whoever wrote this one. At the gym, I was squatting with weights. And he was lifting weights right next to me and kept trying to make conversation with me, but it was awkward. He didn't keep the conversation going, so it was useless, and kept helping me like he handed me his squatting pad and says, here, use this. I know how much that bar can hurt. I mean, very kind, but after awkwardly failing to make conversation, it felt weird. And the rest of my time there, he kept following me to the next machine. See, here we go. Look, let me have a little talk with you guys again. Okay. Those that are listening that are men, male-identified penis owners. Read body language, right? Like if someone's looking away and they don't keep talking or they don't even look up, they're not interested. Try one time. If they don't respond well, they're not interested. Don't follow. Don't be pushy. Don't try to convince them. That's not cool. All right, let's go back. What's the worst way a stranger who's interested has approached you? I'm scared of these now. When I was a kid, this guy just stared me directly in the eyes and kept licking his lips. Oh my gosh, you guys. I'm losing faith in humanity. with his disgusting tongue. It made me feel dirty and ashamed to be alive. Oh my gosh. I bent down to pretend to tie my shoe, hoping he'd stop and stare at someone else. This is what I'm saying. Like, read body cues. Don't catcall. You know, don't run. Oh my gosh. All right, let's keep going. What's the worst way a stranger who's interested in you is approached? I guess the question lends itself to this. It is the worst way. I did say that. I didn't say funny or cute. All right. Next time. I shouldn't be so surprised. This guy came up to me at McDonald's while my mom and siblings were there and insisted I give him my Snapchat. Most awkward thing ever. Yeah, what's up with that? A guy in my homeroom in English class added me on Facebook and messaged me. It seemed normal. He asked if it was okay and told me the class missed me. I thought it was nice, but nope. He then said he missed me the most because I always wore low-cut shirts and I had nice boobs. Oh, my gosh. Y'all think you're complimentary, but, like, no. Ay. Here's another one. Guy sat on my lap at a party. Told me he's going to give me the ring pop special. God. Oh, the ring pop special. I'm a fan of that, so you can give it to me. But, again, don't touch people without asking. Don't sit on their laps. I can't. Is it time to go home yet? The ring pop special. Does that really work? You know what I mean? Like, I hear these stories, and I'm like, has anyone ever turned around and been like, yeah, I've been waiting for you all night. Where you been? All right. Worst way someone's ever that was interested in you approached you. A girl confronted me about my bulge at the gym. Super awkward and uncomfortable. Confronted, he says. Confronted him about it. What does that sound like? Oof. Man. These are heartbreaking, actually. A lot of these are about just they're all poor boundaries. A guy handed me a big quart of hummus and demanded I invite him over to have some. Now, that's a new one.
That's hilarious.
I haven't heard that one yet. I mean... I love hummus. All right, moving forward. I work at Starbucks and I was making drinks, calling names out when I had to call one out to a big daddy. He responded by saying, "Aw, right here, baby." I mean, I'll give you a few points. I'm going to give you can we get points for that one or no? Is that totally creepy or is that like a little funny? I guess the inappropriateness is that the power differential, like they're working, they have to just smile and giggle because, you know, they have fear of retaliation or getting fired or being rude, and don't do it to service workers. You know what I mean? Like they're not in an empowered position to tell you to go F yourself. You know what I mean? That's why I think it's always a little weak when people are like being obnoxious with like a barista or a waitress. Like they're not in a position of power to really shut you down and feel safe or comfortable about it. Like don't do that. Wait till they're off, you know? Wait till they're off and meet them by their car. Although that's something I would almost do is put my name on there as Big Daddy, but I'd be doing it for a different reason. You know what I mean? Most awkward ways. I almost don't even want to read these anymore. Oh, and there it is. Saved by the bell. One more. I was grocery shopping. My basket contained white wine, cat litter, and almond milk. Did I write this one? Mr. Charmy behind me in line tells me that I must be lonely to be buying all those items and that I can come over and make him dinner. He's very confused by my refusal. Oy. Love y'all. All right, when we come back, we slide into those DMs. Listen to Loveline, Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Man, Ariana was killing it on that last track. Get with those white lies. All right, y'all, it's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into DMs
is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world. I want you to explore with confidence. All right, here we go. DM time. So this is a two-pointer. Number one, they say, I love you, Dr. Chris. Thank you for all you do. I love you too. Thank you. Second point. My boyfriend and I are monogamous. I'm comfortable and willing to bring others, regardless of gender, into our sex life. And he is too. So far, you are my favorite couple. I just want to call that out. Love you guys both. However, he has expressed interest in polyamory. Not now or soon, but someday in the future. Okay. I'm not comfortable with polyamory. It really heightens my anxiety mentally and physically. How can I get more comfortable with it? Will my polyamory ever resolve my anxiety? Okay, great. So a few things. Him expressing interest in it some point in the future. You know, never... that's where he's at now. Right now, based on where he's at in his life, that sounds like a good idea to him down the road. You know, that could change. So I wouldn't put a lot of weight behind it. Healthy people, their relational interests, their sexual interests, they can ebb and flow. You know, who someone is when we meet them now won't be who they are down the road. Things can go in either direction. So your relationship can move in a direction where he becomes even more interested in monogamy for a multitude of reasons, or again, the opposite. But nonetheless, your question really is, how can I get more comfortable with polyamory? Will my polyamory anxiety ever resolve? Well, naturally, you're going to get more comfortable because people are talking about it more. You're going to see more people on television maybe doing it. You're going to read more articles about it. You might have friends that are talking more about it. I see it coming into my office more. More people that are wanting to talk about it or are doing it. It's kind of on a continuum. You know, people that are in an open relationship aren't polyamorous, but some of them allow relationality with people that they're having sex with. They're not having other relationships, quote unquote, but they're still keeping in touch, texting. And so essentially they do have somewhat of a relationship, right? They're keeping in contact. So it's like a more mild form. It's not necessarily a full-on relationship, but yet it is. So my point being, it's going to get normalized socially because more people are doing it and talking about it. But there are a lot of amazing books about it. And I would start there. Like amazing books that explain why, how, where, and understanding the way it works and all the many options, because there's so many different ways to do it. It will probably reduce your anxiety because you might be able to find a version or an understanding that makes so much sense to you, that feels good to you, or that makes you actually interested. So there's a couple books. There's actually two main books I love. First one is The Ethical Slut. I actually wrote a little thing for it. So you'll see my name on the newest edition on the cover. Also, though, Tristan Taramino's work, she's a friend of the show. She's been on the show. Opening Up is a classic. Both of those books will kind of hold your hand through expectations, thoughts, concerns, but in a really beautiful way where they're not pushing an agenda. They're just kind of explaining what's possible within relationships and whatnot. And so I think they're both great. Read up on it. You know, take your time. No rush. There's a whole bunch of books, though, right now that are out on polyamory. So just dive in, you know, ask questions. There's another one called More Than Two. I think that's one. That's another really good one. And Tamara Pincus's book. Anyway, read and do research. Talk to your friends. Yeah. All right. We got another question. Do we have time? Not really. No. Okay. Not so much. All right. Slides DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. So we will be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight. You guys have an awesome night. Good night.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.